time once again for Dueling Reviews, a show where two guys sit down and read one comic and discuss it probably more than you care to know or care to hear.
No, that no? is not the case at all.
I'm they pretty sure I'm right.
Hear. That's oh, why we're here.
We
That's
discuss it more than you care to hear.
No, we discuss it exactly as much as you care to hear.
Interestingly, no more, we no actually less. Discuss it more than the time it takes you to actually read the issue.
We discuss it more than Steven cares to hear, but that's an entirely different matter.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to Dueling Reviews. I'm Steven. You can follow me at Major Spoilers on Twitter, and over there is Matthew. Hello, Matthew.
Hi, friends. It's your old pal Del Monte Slim, and damn, have I got some deals for you in cars. Check us out on the Twitter at MightyKingCobra...
So we were off last week, mainly not because of anything Matthew did, which is, you know, surprise, I know.
Hey, I'm right here.
Oh, well, technically okay. You're way over there.
No, but, I'm right here. You're way over there.
Comixology last week got hacked.
Yes.
And they were making it mandatory for everybody to change their password. Well, it turns out that even after you changed your password online, a lot of users were having trouble still accessing their account via the iPad, even with the new password change. And I was one of those people, and it took about 24 hours before everything cleared up. And so I was just like, I don't have a comic to read because my print comics that I get from a guy in Salina don't arrive usually until Friday or Saturday. And I could have run
to Gatekeeper. I just couldn't run it to you.
Yeah. And I could have run over to our Hastings and probably picked it up. But that's kind of a crapshoot because our Hastings doesn't get, you know, like hundreds of copies of a single issue. Sometimes they get a single issue of a single issue, and I wasn't going to, maybe I was a little bit too lazy to run over there, but I really didn't realize that it was a huge issue until, I don't know, what time was it, like 5 o'clock in the afternoon, and I already had little hellions that I was taking care of. And the last thing you want to do is take two little hellions to Hastings, a place full of toys and breakables and things that they want to buy. So we just took a week off.
I didn't want to take the child into Hastings, and my child is not a little hellion. My child.
Oh, let me tell you about your little child.
Oh, you're going to tell me about my child? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm listening.
She's a good kid.
Yeah, she is. She owes me a dollar.
Oh, because she didn't think I was going to say anything nice about her?
No.
Steve never says anything nice about me.
Yesterday was her 10th birthday.
Happy birthday to her.
Like, when can I be on the podcast again? When can I be on? I want to be on Critical Hit. I created my own character.
Good luck with that.
That's what I said.
Okay, so we're back. We took a break. Hopefully you didn't miss us too much. Hopefully you checked out majorspoilers.com because Matthew did write a review of the book we were supposed to read last week, which was Magneto number one, which I still haven't read yet. I plan on it. I did buy it and I did download it. And from everything that I hear, everybody just is in love with this Magneto number one. Or
it was
Magneto,
much...
Magneto hashtag one.
Don't do that.
So
Magneto number one was a very, very interesting book. And I have to say, I was surprised at how good I found it. So,
yeah, would you give it like four slices of meatloaf or something? 4 stars. I
want to say four stars, maybe four and a half. I don't remember exactly. But it was good. And part of it takes place in the town where I grew up. So that's fun.
Beloit. Does it really take place in Beloit?
Part of it does. Yeah, Magneto's holed up in the Super 8 motel outside of Beloit, Kansas.
So this week, we are reading Nightwing number 29, Safety Net, written by Kyle Higgins, Russell Doderman as the artist, Pete Pantazis is the colorist.
Pantazis?
Yeah, Pantazis.
What? Why do you think I wear a dead albatross on my chest? I can't argue my face.
So here's the thing. I think I read the Nightwing issues up until the point where the Court of Owls thing was basically done. So that would have been the first 6 issues or something like that. The whole thing where he took over, and I read portions of the piece where he took over the Daily Circus or the Dally Circus.
The Haley Circus.
Haley Circus. Sorry. I thought it was Daily Dally.
And then he had a crossover with Batgirl. Which was kind of cute. And then there was the whole death of the family thing.
And I didn't read any of that.
Death of the family is where everything went kind of nuts. I think death in the family is a big frama frama. And of course, Damien dying
Yeah, and I did read some of that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not 100% certain Dick's run as Batman with Damian exists in the new 52 continuity.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
But I'm not 100% certain how long it was, because
like
if we look at the 5-year, yeah, a week, week and a half.
Couple of days.
We were totally Batman and Robin on a Sunday afternoon in the park.
Yeah, you know, with that Grant Morrison stuff, it gets really weird about what stuff was transferred over, because Morrison's whole Batman Inc. stuff continued on from the previous universe into the new 52. Right. So here's the thing. And I know some people are like, well, you guys, if you're going to comment on this comic book, you really should have read the first 28 before you have any idea. I'm going to argue against that. Especially for this book. And the same way with the Supergirl book. I read the issue 28 of Supergirl and then issue 20 or 27 and then 28. And then for this one, I only read issue 29 of Nightwing. And my argument for this is the last issue for this creative team. I was expecting this to be the whole everyone's like, oh, this is a forever evil tie in. And I'm like, oh, is this the issue where Dick Grayson bites it? Is this the issue where he dies?
Stop it.
He's already been. I haven't read Forever Evil. So, again, people are like, well, you can't talk about Forever Evil if you haven't reviewed Forever Evil.
I can talk about
it. But I do know that in the first issue of Forever Evil, didn't they unmask Dick?
Yes, they did. In fact,
how did they undo that? Is he still unknown?
I'm not sure, as I haven't read issues after
Forever Evil. Oh, OK.
But I have a much more prosaic argument about whether or not I can review Nightwing number 29 without having read Nightwing 1-28.
Which is?
I work in a comic shop, and when people walk into a comic shop, they don't always have the option to buy Nightwing 1-28 when they pick up 29. Any issue can be and should be established and reviewed based on a couple of criteria, but first and foremost, how is it as a single issue?
Right.
If you have to read 1-28 to enjoy 29, I believe that that is something that needs to be talked about. That is something that may be a weakness, or it may be a book that's heavy into continuity and it works better that way.
Oh, but yeah. If you would have gone back and picked up issue number 7 of the Sinestro War, you'd probably be completely lost, because that's something that in those 7 issues, it's kind of reliant to know what happened to get everybody where they're at.
Agreed. And this is the thing. I mean, yes, Nightwing number 29 does follow on Nightwing 1-28, but there have been 3 creative teams on Nightwing since the launch of the new 52. Mm-hmm. And there have been at least 2 jumping on points that I'm aware of. So, I mean, it's not as though I have to have read every single Batman comic to understand and to review meaningfully a Batman comic. I mean, I've been reading Batman since 1977 or something.
Oh, good for you. That's my Batman reference there.
Is it?
Yeah, Christian Bale going nuts on whatever set he was on. I can't remember if it was Batman or Terminator.
That was Terminator. Rise of the
Rise of the Machines. Yeah.
See, when I do Batman references, I do Jack Nicholson. Go with a smile.
So here's my argument about why this is a good jumping arm on point.
Okay.
I think you mean you are number one.
I will kill you.
Here's why I say this is a good jumping on point, because if you don't know anything about Nightwing as a character, in the way that this story is told in flashback, in the way that Dick is. So the general thing is there's some little girl's parents who have died.
Right.
Murdered by at Zsasz.
Zsasz, I believe is pronounced.
Yeah, whatever. Zsasz, Jazz, Scissors, whatever you want to call him. Cutter.
Scissors.
I like that. I was a little taken aback. I want to, you know, this is the first time I've seen Zsasz in this universe. And I was a little taken aback because I'm so used to seeing him with those goggles on and the, you know, of course, the scars. But I was not expecting him to see a douchey goatee. And
that's the thing. Yeah. He's like a muscle bound douchey goatee. Yeah, I always when I say Zsasz, I'm thinking, you know, the skinny guy who looks like he just got out of solitary.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like dude bro, Mr. Zsasz. You know, you expect him to put on a fedora and start calling you milady.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
So apparently he's killed this little girl's family. The little girl knows that Dick is Nightwing, has stolen some of his gear, and she, this little 10-year-old, is what she looks like. tracks down Victor and is going to kick his ass. But of course, it doesn't go that way. So what this whole story is a narration, a voiceover from Dick talking about how times are going to be good and times are going to be bad and you have to do these things. And there's other things that you can do and you can't do. And through it all, readers are given flashbacks to everything in Dick's life, from the moment that his parents are killed to incarnations when he has dealt with the Joker as the Robin when he first became the Joker, and
that's
fighting
a weird looking Robin costume he wears too,
with the pants thing.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that's all about.
I don't know either, because it's like he's wearing a pair of dungarees and swinging around.
Well, At first I thought maybe it was Teen Titans costume, like cartoon
not
Titans
even that.
Costume.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, but you know what? If they get those steel-toed boots in the DC Universe, I'll start reading Nightwing again.
Yeah, there you go. But what's really cool is we get to see all the old characters, Scarecrow, Two-Face, Joker, Harley Quinn, Poison Ivy, Mr. Freeze, and we get to see those fights. We get this discussion about Dick losing his loves, almost dying at the hands of, I'm guessing, who's that scarred eye person? Is that... I thought it was a Red Hood, but maybe it's not.
Scar Eyed. What page are you on?
Whatever page this is. It is page 9. And his girlfriend, you know, and I think the girl is the girl from the circus, Hallie's Circus. And so we see the breakup of that relationship. We get a what if, what would have happened, because it's revealed that Dick was going to be initiated into the Court of Owls storyline. And that was kind of a big deal. And then we see.
That was.
You see the death in the family, a little backflash to death in the family. You see Dick going in and you know, basically kicking Victor's butt and saving the little girl. And then the two of them having a discussion on the rooftop about, hey, man, I know what it's like to lose a parent. I know what it's like to lose both of my parents. And so I know what you're going through. And I'm telling you this story so that, you know, in the future, things do get better. And he gives her a little bracelet of his mom's and says, you know, I always used to carry this around because it reminded me of my mom and everything that happened. And he goes, I want you to hold on to it for me so that you'll know that things do get better. And eventually you will be able to let go. And it's all real sweet and schmaltzy and all that good stuff. And then he's reconnecting with someone who I don't know, but he's reconnecting with someone that, just reading this, is somebody that he's probably had a relationship with in the past. And so if you've never read Nightwing, now, granted, you may not know what all these storylines are, but we've already mentioned Death of the Family and the Court of Owls and those kinds of things. So you as a reader kind of say, oh, OK, so something cool happened with these bird people and something happened with his parents and something happened with a girlfriend that he loved.
Yeah,
but you
this
understand
is kind of like a bookend, a postscript of this whole volume. Of Nightwing, which kind of worries me with all your talk about them killing off Nightwing.
Oh, I was expecting him to, you know, he's stretching up at the top of the roof and saying, oh, life is all good right now. And I was really expecting, you know, like somebody to come out and knife to the back or something and takes him out just right there.
I was thinking sniper.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was thinking that, too.
Ultraman swings in and blows off the left half of his chest with Ultra Vision.
So for me, not having read anything about what's going on, I'm able to pick up on the story points and the beats that make this still a very touching closing chapter for Higgins and Dodderman.
Yeah. And it works as a single issue without having read anything that comes before, which I really like. It tells you within the framework of a well-crafted story what you need to know about Nightwing to read this issue. And it says, these are the things that have happened. And even if you don't know, well, that Court of Owls thing
looks pretty spooky.
You can see. Yeah, you can look from the page and you can get from the context, this is what happens. And now you can say, hey, I want to know what that's all about. I'm going to go look up the previous issues of Nightwing.
Do you miss
and see if Matthew has put them in the back issues?
Do you miss, because here's the thing, do you miss the little editor notes? This happened in, you know, the Court of Owls storyline, Batman number what blah blah through blah 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 editor.
If I kind of miss those. I miss anything from comics, I miss thought balloons. But yeah, those definitely do have. I think they have an effect on the way the story is read, though.
Mm.
And I think the editor's note feels a little bit
like breaking the fourth wall kind of thing.
Yeah. Because back in the day when you know, Stan was doing it and Roy Thomas was doing it, it was during the hail fellow, well met, slap him on the back, Mary Marvel Marching Society days. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we have that with our comic people anymore. You know, we went
sometimes
from
smile
on Stan to people making racist remarks about Joe Quesada's last name sounding like it's food.
Yeah.
You know, it sounds like something you can get at Carlos O'Kelly's. And I'm right. Like, that's stupid.
Yeah. I kind of miss him because
Dan DiDio.
Yeah, I wonder who would make fun of his name.
Dan DiDio.
Yeah, I miss something, you know, like just, and I guess from an editor's note standpoint, it's not necessary in the overall scheme of things, but I think it would be nice. Mm-hmm. So if someone did say, as seen in Nightwing issues 14 through 12,
right,
or
for,
12,
for
12
sales
through 14
of the trade.
Yeah.
Or even if you were to say, you know, as seen in the Court of Owls Nightwing TPB.
Yeah.
You know, to get that synergy.
Or you have, you know, the introduction of Victor Zsasz in that one page. You can say, you know, Victor first appeared in Nightwing issue right. 5 or whatever it was.
Or Victor killed this child's parents last issue. Issue 26 of Nightwing with a hammer.
Yeah. I doubt it was a hammer. Because Zsasz likes to cut people.
See, you keep saying Zsasz, and he sounds like Sheldon Cooper's cat. Mr. Zazzles.
I'm going to say Zsasz.
I don't know why that cracks me up. You can say Zsasz. I think that a Z-S is a fricative. Not a fricative. The opposite of a fricative. A ligature where you stick the letters together and you go Z. Like the sound in the middle of vision. Mr. Zsasz.
But there's not a envision. There's not an S and a Z together.
Zsasz. Yes, but it's the sound.
Eh, maybe. Who knows?
Don't go there.
No,
my
I'm just saying. I don't know.
Nightwing.
Zsasz. Mr. Zsasz. Mr. Zsasz. My name is Mr. Zsasz. Doesn't sound as scary as Zsasz.
My name is Mr. Zsasz.
Zsasz. Maybe it's Zsasz.
He sounds like he's voiced by Swarm. Mr. Yash.
So from a story perspective,
Swarm.
From my standpoint, if you wanted to know anything about Nightwing, this is a good jumping on point because it tells you everything you need to know about Nightwing. He's a nice, kind, caring person. You even get that in here. You even get him making a promise to friends of his saying, don't worry, I promise she'll be OK. And from your argument of every issue, everyone should be able to pick it up and at least get something out of the issue. This issue also qualifies for that.
Every issue is an individual sale and thus should be an individual experience. I'm not saying that everything needs to be a standalone. I'm certainly not saying we need all done in ones, but even if you're chapter 5 of 27, you need to be able to pick up that issue because that's, you know, that's a book you're going to buy on Comixology or at Gatekeeper Hobbies, Huntoon and Gage Topeka. Yeah. You're going to buy that. You're going to read it. And if it feels like, you know, it's the 5 minutes before the break in an episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's not a satisfying reading experience.
Was Agents of the S.H.I.E.L.D. on today? That was on last night.
No, it was on last night.
Oh, okay. So here's what I like about the art. Everything when it's just like flashback stuff, all square panels, some overlapping panels, everything's very nice and stable. And all the flashbacks have this big tinge of red to the page, making you think, oh, blood, that kind of stuff. And it flows really well. And then the moment that the little girl steps in, the artist takes the whole panel and gives it a Dutch angle. And so from the point of everything that's taking place with them fighting and Nightwing jumping in and fighting, all the panels are skewed and twisted and wrapped around. And I think that's so awesome from a visual standpoint. Fight sequence is really awesome. And then the parts that I also really like are every time that we see a major flashback, it is a big, almost full page spread.
Yes.
Most of the time it's at least half and then with some sub panels that go with it. But for the most part, it is a big splash. Court of Owls, big splash. Death of the Family, big montage splash. The first Robin montage splash. And then you turn the page and he's talking about how the costume and how the character change and the people that you work and you see him in the Robin costume. And then you've got the, I'm going to call this a tropey pose of a bat family person flying through the air kind of thing. And big splash page. So, you know, that this is not the same Robin.
Great panel.
It is that a great panel.
Until you find the right you. Oh, my gosh. That's beautiful.
And talking about his transition from Robin to Nightwing. I think it's brilliant. It's brilliant. Well, the art. And then I'm not sure I understand what's going on with the buildings, because like the buildings are cracking and crumbling, and maybe that's him leaving. Maybe that represents him leaving Gotham City to explore a new life. I'm not sure, because he's actually leaving the apartment complex where he said he was going to save the little girl.
Yeah.
But man, the art is really good in this book.
Yeah.
And I almost want to go back and read some more Nightwing stuff.
The art isn't necessarily what I would say is usually my cup of tea. Mm-hmm. And there are points in this where I feel like, wow, that could be problematic. Like the point where she breaks into Mr. Zsasz's apartment with Nightwing's Eskrima sticks, and she's like a 10-year-old girl, but super stylized, with big head. And I'm just like, that's cool. That looks cool. And I feel like it shouldn't. But it really does. They managed to synthesize something that reminds me of the better parts of Legion Lost. Who was the guy who did Legion Lost? He's got a long name. Oh, I can't remember now. Olivier Coipel.
Mm-hmm.
There's some of that in here. There's some little bits and pieces of this that feel a little Frank Miller, Klaus Janssen-y to me. Which, you know, that's pretty awesome to see, especially doing it as subtle as it's done. Throughout there, and the point where Nightwing attacks Zsasz, that little, he's got a pose where he flips across and they have the motion
mm-hmm.
to where it looks like there's multiple image Nightwings going across
the
room.
Yeah,
that's a gorgeous panel.
Yeah, all of it's cool. And you know, I know you don't like the fact that little girl or little children are put in danger, but she's not really in danger. She doesn't get cut.
She gets smacked once, walked into danger.
Yeah.
Ready to kick butt.
Yeah.
Well, not serves her right. You know, you gotta give her credit for guts. I mean,
she
was going to beat a serial killer to death for hurting her parents.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, it is pretty cool.
With a stick.
So for people that say, oh, you have to know what happened in the previous issue to appreciate this, I'm going to argue no. I know enough about these characters, except for the little girl. What's her name? Jenny or Jen or whatever her name is.
Jen.
I can identify and connect with every point and panel in this book and have an appreciation for it. And I think from that standpoint, this is a very successful book.
Agreed. And I think that visually it works. Story-wise, it works. And strangely enough, even though those two things aren't, I guess it, I don't want to feel like they're separate, because they certainly aren't in storytelling, but you get kind of a synthesis where the image will give you something that the story doesn't, and vice versa.
Yeah.
They work it together really well, to where you can't just read this as a prose book mm-hmm. and you can't just flip through it for the pictures.
Right.
You got to do both in order to get the full extent of the experience, which I think is awesome.
If I'm going to nitpick, I'm going to mm-hmm. say that
of course
a lot of times the hair is just every panel all over the place.
Hair is everywhere, but it's a Nightwing book, and Nightwing is known for having flippy hair.
Do you have a favorite Nightwing story or a favorite moment in Dick's life that you really like? Probably you are Teen Titans when he becomes Nightwing, when he throws down the pixie panties and boots and says, "I'm done being Robin. You can call me Nightwing."
No, for me, it's the point where he comes down the stairs and he's being like, "I thought about Batman and I thought about Superman, and I put together this thing that references both of them and all the people I love together.
Yeah,
and now I have a giant disco collar." And then immediately afterwards, "And I'm Jericho." For me, it's probably the first Nightwing appearance in the Judas Contract, because he has an unpowered, uncostumed fight with Deathstroke the Terminator.
Mm-hmm.
No weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And comes away alive.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that right there, he's surprised in his home, unarmed, he gets away alive. And he's the only Titan who does.
Mm-hmm.
When Starfire and Cyborg and Terra, seemingly, go down in a fight and Robin is the only one that gets away. And then he decides, now I am the Nightwing. That's pretty amazing. That's some awesome stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That is really cool. And I think we talked at some point, one of the previous, I think when we did the Judas Contract episode. Yeah. I think we referenced that. And I kind of have a feeling that he was paying respect more to Superman than he was to Batman.
Well, and that's the point. I mean, they at the time were referencing 40 years of World's Finest comics where Superman and Batman and Robin hung out and were best of friends. And they were referencing all of these things that happened pre-crisis that may not have happened any longer.
Right.
You know, but that's that may be an argument for another time. But yeah, I would say there's definitely a big Superman homage in there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My favorite arc was when he basically said, you know what, I'm kind of done. And this is a more recent one, like mid to late 90s, I want to say, or maybe early 2000s, where he basically says, you know what, I'm done with Gotham. I'm going to move to Bloodhaven, and I'm going to try to be a cop. And that whole thing, which basically, if you think about it, is kind of what we see in Hawkeye, where he's like, I'm going to buy this apartment. I'm going to become the super. Yeah. I'm going to make connections with all these people. And then Tarantula blows it all up, or Blockbuster, or whoever blows it all up.
I like that arc when the other guy, and I don't know if Dick was retired or what, but the other guy came out as Nightwing.
Yeah.
And that guy was just a total lunatic. And Dick was trying to keep him from getting killed and also keep him from killing villains. Yeah. That was cool.
Yeah. So
Scott McDaniel rules.
Oh, is that who did everything on that?
He did the art. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I like
McDaniel
that.
McDaniel did that. Did that. And then, of course, he did the Great 10 a couple years ago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Nightwing is a really cool character. And I think he's just enough removed from, you know, the dark, brooding Batman. And he always has been that way, that it makes him much more fun and interesting character to tell stories with, because he actually has emotion beyond just my parents are dead.
The thing about the DC universe in the new 52 that a lot of people complain about is you have characters who are still defined by their old stories, but the stories don't exist anymore. And Nightwing is a success story for me because he's defined by his stories, but they've managed to keep everything that's intrinsic to that Nightwing character, even in that little 5-year space.
Yeah.
And granted, I mean, 50 years of kind of being in limbo as Robin the Boy hostage probably didn't hurt. But even so, you know, they've managed to take this character who's been around since 1940 and keep everything important about him while relaunching virtually everything. My only argument, and I will make this argument until the day I die, Nightwing should not wear red. Nightwing should wear midnight blue.
Oh, you mean the costume that he had before New 52?
Well, every costume he had before New 52.
Yeah.
Now, granted, he was the Robin.
Right.
And Robins have red breasts.
Yeah, but you're talking about his when he first did the 70s or whatever that was.
Everything.
Yeah, the big disco collar.
1984, he put on the disco collar, and then for a while he had that black suit with the midnight blue thing. Yeah,
I like that one.
And then he had another suit with a midnight blue layover. And
then he had that big old giant ponytail thing going on.
Oh, the giant ponytail. Brian Stelfreeze issues, those suck.
Yeah, I was going to say, if there's some Nightwing issues you should probably avoid in the back issue bin, is when he armored up in that blue and yellow with the giant whippy ponytail. Hey, ladies,
I'm
going to
tell you right
you?
Now, dueling reviewers, let me tell you, touch me, I'm Dick. No, more importantly, you can learn from a bad comic book.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you can learn, don't do this again.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know what they were thinking. It was the time period, I guess. So
it was the 90s. Everybody had a ponytail.
Yeah, everybody had
ponytail. You know, if you didn't have a ponytail, you had a leather jacket and a goatee.
Yeah.
Or a flaming skull or claws. Or a flaming skull claw.
Yeah. Or if you're from the Midwest, or I'm sorry, middle of America, a big mullet.
Hey. You
No, I'm just saying that was the look of the time.
About the mullet.
I'm just saying that
you
was the look of the
talk
time.
About the mullet.
No, I'm not talking about your mullet.
Steven Schleicher had a kid and play high top fade.
And it wasn't a fade. It was just a high top.
It was 6 inches
tall. 62 inches tall and had a zip code.
He would moose that thing up and he'd be like, oh, yeah, ladies, the Steven coming at you. All right.
Yep. Yep.
And I would look at him with my beautiful Kentucky waterfall, and I would go, whatever. Yeah, Gary, so stupid.
Yeah, right. All right.
I don't like your hair because I have a mullet, you see.
Yes. And the two genres would never mix and never see eye to eye ever again.
And 25 years later, welcome to Matrix.
Didn't Miley Cyrus's dad just do a rap song of his Achy Breaky Heart?
Wiki Wiki Heart? I don't. Let's not talk about that unless you want me to go on some sort of murderous rampage.
murderous rampage. Come on, listeners. Start chanting with me. Maybe we can say it loud enough that everyone will hear murderous rampage, murderous rampage. Some guy's standing up on the bus right now yelling, murderous rampage.
Murderous rampage.
The bus is just clearing out. Ah, that guy's going crazy. He's going on a murderous rampage. Oh. Podcast responsible for 14 people going insane.
Hey, we'll be on the front page of Yahoo for the first time.
Nightwing 29, I say pick it up. It's a good book. And I honestly, if you just have a tangential acquaintance with Nightwing, I think you'll get something out of this book.
Agreed, because I just have a tangential acquaintance with Nightwing, but I like this. And this book, you know, if you only know Nightwing from being Robin in the Teen Titans cartoon, this works just as well.
Oh yeah, 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 definitely. So looking ahead to next week, Dark Horse Comics,
head over my head,
has a Buffy season 10 number one comes out. Mm-hmm. Hellboy first 20 years hardcover comes out. There are a number of.
Do Buffy season 10?
Sure, let's do that. I didn't read number 8 or 9, but we can look at 10. Every issue should be its first issue. Yeah, exactly. Star Wars, Darth Vader, and Cry of Shadows number 4.
I'm sorry, what?
That's what it says. It says Star Wars, Darth Vader, and Cry of Shadows number 4. $3.50.
How many colons are in that?
No colons. Just like Darth Vader, no colons. Terminator, Enemy of My Enemy, number 2. Witcher, number 1, all coming out next week from Dark Horse Comics, as well as many others. We'll have an update next week of the complete listing over at majorspoilers.com. DC Comics has Animal Man, number 29, Batman 66, number 9, Batman and Aquaman, number 29. How long are they going to do that before they just change it to Batman the Brave and the Bold?
Honestly, I don't know. I will say that as someone who tries to put those books in the back issue bins alphabetically, it is a monster.
How do you organize the Batman and blank issues? Because originally it was Batman and Robin, and then Robin died, and this whole thing is this emo
under Batman and Robin.
Okay, that's what I thought. That's how I would do it too.
Yeah, I mean that's the only way I can do it. Well, honestly, I throw them under Batman Miscellaneous.
Some people would put it and create a whole new divider for Batman and Aquaman, and there's only one issue in there.
Well, some people may have infinite time and dividers. I work for minimum wage. Well, but
I think that since it's all part of the same series, you should group it together.
And if you look at the Indicia inside, I believe it's still actually published as Batman and Robin. Really?
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Batwoman 29, certain. Birds of Prey 29. Deathblow Deluxe Edition, Harley Quinn number 4.
Sorry, Aquanasal from the Deathblow Deluxe.
Red Hood and the Outlaws 29. Have you read this? I don't know if you flipped through it when you came across the shelves at your comic book store. Scribblenauts Unmasked: Crisis of Imagination number 3. Or that's what comes out next week.
Out.
But have you really? I don't even know what it's about.
Two copies.
Oh, okay.
Well, it's about Scribblenauts.
I don't even know what that is.
I presume that it's a sequel to Sheldon Mayer's classic Scribbly cartoons, which gave us the Red Tornado.
Okay.
And eventually led to Sugar and Spike. However, it should be noted that I'm probably on cold medicine.
Trinity of Sin Pandora number 9 comes out next week. Wonder Woman 29.
That book,
Pandora
is exhausting.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman, still awesome. I'm still a little leery about what's going to happen when David Finch takes over Wonder Woman in a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I do like me some Wonder Woman.
It's a good series. IDW Publishing has G.I. Joe number 14, Illegitimates number 4, Magic the Gathering Theros number 5.
Theros.
I love it when you just jump in when I'm stop talking, because it gives me a chance to click that mute button and sneeze my head off for a couple seconds.
That's why I'm here.
My Little Pony Friendship is Magic number 17. That is a $3.99 book.
Tragic.
Man.
$3.99?
That's a $3.99 book. That's okay.
I wonder
Magic the Gathering Theros number 5 is a $4.99 book.
I'm wondering if they're aiming My Little Pony at the adult male fan base.
I'm going to bet that they are. I bet they are. But if they're aiming for the little kid,
pop, I would say
little kid fan base, man, that's pushing it.
Well, little kids don't necessarily get into comic shops.
That's true. Transformers Regeneration 1, number 100, $5.99 next week.
That's a cool book.
Image Comics has A Voice in the Dark, number 5, Aphrodite 9, number 9.
It's pronounced X.
Five Ghosts, number 10. Fuse, number 2. Ghosted, number 8. Prophet, number 43. Rocket Girl, 4. Sex Criminals, number 5. Sovereign, number 1. Ooh. That's a mature reader's book.
Hang on, I need to call Sex Criminals.
Okay. You've just called the Sex Criminals hotline, Matthew. If you want
that
number
comes out
5.
Next week?
Yes. If you want number 5, press 5. If you want number 6, press 7.
I'm frightened. you're a little too accurate.
I don't know what you're talking about. Undertow number 2 comes out next week.
Undertow.
New Ghost Rider.
That is underfoot.
Oh, who's going to review this? Has it already been claimed? I think somebody's already claimed this. All new Ghost Rider number 1. All new Marvel Now.
Yo!
My name's
Matthew.
Did you already claim
I'm
that one?
I'm reviewing all new Ghost Rider. Yeah.
That is the one that has everybody up in arms because of the art style change and how Ghost Rider looks. And the fact that Ghost Rider, instead of just having his motorcycle that's the flaming thing, he can turn any engine vehicle into his ghost, whatever it is. So I cannot wait.
In the previews, he's driving a 69 Dodge Charger.
Yeah, and that actually got on the cover of Lowrider magazine or something, I think, is what they did with that.
Yeah, Lowrider.
Yeah, I can't wait till he jumps on a Vespa, like a 66 Vespa, running around like that with his big flaming chain swinging around, going 5 miles an hour, beeping his little horn. Get out of the way.
Ciao.
Daredevil number 1, all new Marvel Now, comes out next week.
Oh, did someone call it?
I don't know, but if they didn't, put me
I'll
down
bet
for
you
it.
Chris Wilson.
No, he actually this week, dang it, I was going to read this week Nosferatu Wars. Chris grabbed that one from me.
Man.
But if nobody has Daredevil number 1 down for next week, put me down for that. I want to read that one.
All right, Daredevil number 1 for Steven Schleicher.
If it's not there.
It's not yet called.
Excellent. Ms. Marvel number 1, second printing, and Ms. Marvel number 2, all new Marvel Now, comes out next week. Superior Foes of Spider-Man number 10, Superior Spider-Man Annual number 2, Thor God of Thunder number
20. What is going on with Superior Spider-Man? It's like, it seems like the regular title has disappeared, but we're getting a bunch of annuals and other stuff.
Well, Superior Foes has been going for a long time, and I think it's because they're getting ready to relaunch that Peter Parker thing.
The Peter Parker thing?
With the all-new Amazing Spider-Man now.
Spider-Man.
Wolverine and X-Men number 2. Wolverine Japan's Most Wanted hardcover collection comes out. X-Men number 12 comes out. And Young Avengers trade paperback volume 3, Mic Drop, Edge, Time, and Space.
Wiki.
Yes.
Nice.
In the rest, I don't know what 16-bit Zombies number 1 is about, but it has zombies in the title, so that sounds interesting. Adventure Time number 26 from Dynamite Entertainment. And Bonnie number 1. Archie Funhouse Double Digest number 3, Badass number 3, Basewood hardcover, Battlestar Galactica, Canon Wally Wood trade paperback.
Really?
Yes, two ends, not one end. So it's
who's that from?
It's not from one of the main publishers. So my guess is that it could be not Moonstone, Titan. I don't know who it is from. It doesn't list the publisher.
Not
Gemstone. There is a new Classics Illustrated Deluxe Hardcover Volume 11 Seawolf comes out next week.
Seawolf?
Sometime we'll have to have a discussion of Matthew's love of Classics Illustrated and how he has to catalog all those.
It's one of those things where it's like Sudoku. I love it and I hate it and I love that I hate it and I hate that sometimes love I love.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
Ghost Cop number That's 3. God is Dead,
Ghost
number 9.
Cup, Ghost Cup.
No Grimm, number 11. Harbinger, Bleeding Monk, number... Oh, this is a good one. Harbinger, Bleeding Monk, number 0.2014.
I'm Knights, sorry. What?
Isn't that Valiant, Harbinger, Bleeding Monk?
3.1415.
No, yeah, number. It's number 0.2014. But it's like 2.2014, you know, basically Poke Infinite Marvel. Knights of the Dinner Table, number 206. Legendary, a steampunk adventure, number 3. That's from Bill Willingham and Dynamite Entertainment.
Yeah, that's, what is that? That's steampunk Doc Savage, right?
Steampunk Shadow, steampunk Green Hornet. I'm sorry, steampunk Green Hornet, steampunk Vampirilla, and probably some other people that I haven't read in issue 2 yet. Oh, steampunk Red Sonja.
Oh, nice.
Is in that one, too. Yeah. Rush, Clockwork Angels, number 1. Shadow, number 23. Shadow Man, number 16. Six Gun, 39. That series is coming to a close here pretty soon, I think. The Spider, number 18. Wasteland, number 52. And Wawawi Ongoing, number 2. Ooh. I don't understand what Wawawi is. Why do they put 2 W's before that?
WWE.
Yes, that's what it says. We ongoing. WWE ongoing number 3, if you're interested in that. Number 2 is getting a second printing next week, both $3.99 on that. And then if you're into, I have no idea who it's by, and I don't know what it's about, but it's Triple X-aholic Omnibus Trade Paperback Volume 1, $19.99. Or holic.
Isn't that pronounced...
See if there's any good books coming out.
It's the sound that Ghostwriter's Vespa makes.
Man, there's some interesting books coming out next week. Bonsai Girls Stripped Down Soft Cover.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds naughty.
Stephen King Films FAQ Soft Cover. Do you guys carry books? Do you guys carry these kinds of things? Art of Coretta Hard Candy? Art of Joe Picar, Naughty Girls, Soft Cover.
Yeah, stuff like that. It's going to be special order stuff.
Somebody has to say, really, hey, I want this.
Yeah, we don't really have a book section per se, and our local bookstores are slowly disappearing.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've expanded the game section, and the trade paperback racks are now a lot more streamlined and a lot more sensible to where you won't necessarily see like $100 trade paperback things that we can't sell. But
yeah.
Yeah, stuff like that, someone would have to say, I want one of them.
William Shakespeare, Empire Striketh Back hardcover comes out next week in books. In case you don't know, that's the Star Wars movies told in William Shakespeare's sonnet style.
In, what is it, iambic pentameter?
Iambic pentameter, yeah. A couple of my students in the Star Wars class actually read the first Star Wars book, and they said it's really good in that William Shakespeare style, but they're lit major, so...
A war amongst the stars is what they have. For my part, I shall stay home and eat paste. It's somewhat difficult to speak in rhyme.
But I do it and all
something,
the time.
Something, boom.
So there you go. Those are some of the books and things coming out next week. Check your comic book retailer. You can check the updated list next week from majorspoilers.com. While you're over there at majorspoilers.com, if any of these books or merchandise or anything else sounds interesting to you, click on that amazon.com link and you can buy away. Now, you can't buy single issues, but certainly when it comes to trade paperbacks, certainly when it comes to the books section, certainly when it comes to a lot of the merchandise stuff, especially toys. Now, maybe not statues, but a lot of the other stuff in the merchandise section you can get at amazon.com. Here's the cool thing. You're not going to pay some ridiculous marked up price that your comic book store may charge you, or that some ridiculous price that your previews diamond distributors may charge you. You're going to pay what Amazon charges you. And a little bit comes back our way and helps us keep great shows like Critical Hit on the air. And this one as well.
There you go.
There you go. If you are listening to this week,
wait
for that to sink in. If you're listening to this episode this week and you are in the Kansas City area this weekend, March 14th through the 16th, Planet Comic Con is taking place in Kansas City at Bartle Hall. I'm presenting an educational panel, and apparently they're playing this up in a kind of a bigger deal than I thought they would. They sent out an email blast yesterday saying, hey, come meet these instructors who are teaching a class about Star Wars and American pop culture. So I am sitting on that panel, one of the instructors of the Star Wars class that I keep referencing, and we're going to just kind of give an overview of what we're teaching in that class, and hope a lot of people have questions. If you're an educator, maybe not, maybe you're a Star Wars fan, maybe you want to talk about some of the topics that we bring up. It should be a lot of fun. And if you do come and you listen to the show, say hi. I'm hoping that it doesn't take place at the same time as the William Shatner signing, because then we're going to lose everybody.
Did Shatner delete his Twitter account?
Yeah, that's what the big deal. A lot of people were saying that he got fed up with Twitter and signed off the Twitter and deleted it.
Wow.
Yeah. So they've got this big Star Trek event going on this weekend, too. It's a separate ticketed event, but it's got all the Next Generation people in there from the first season.
Except for Picard.
Yeah, except for Picard. It does have Will Wheaton, though. So I'm hoping maybe I can bump into him and we can exchange some glares about, how our Dungeons & Dragons podcast is better than your Dungeons & Dragons podcast.
Why would we do that? Why don't we team up?
That's what I keep saying.
And take over the world.
But every time I do that, Scott Kurtz kind of just says, huh? What? What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. But yeah, if you're at Planet Comic Con, stop by, look me up. I'm not going to be there for very long. I'm probably going to get there late, get into the panel, do my thing, maybe stop over at Sylvester McCoy's booth and shake his hand and tell him that he's one of my favorite Doctor Who's.
I'm just trying to figure out which one's your favorite.
Well,
you know, the one with the face and the head? You know,
that guy that time travels around and has the girl companion?
Yeah, that was Count Dooku, man.
Yeah, I love that guy as Doctor Who. But oh no, Sylvester McCoy, you're really cool too, man. So he's there.
Sylvester McCoy is awesome.
Yeah, he is. And I think he's more there for, even though they're playing him up as a Doctor Who guest, from his bio that they put in there, it was a lot of the Rattaris the Brown.
Rattaris?
I think that's his name, isn't it? Rattaras?
Zatarans is his name, isn't it?
No, Zatarans. No, it's not Zatarans. He's not playing a clarinet and pushing...
Radagast.
Radagast, that's his name. Yeah. They're not pushing a salty rice on anybody. I forget who else is going to be. There's a lot of people that are going to be there. It's really cool. I was actually hoping... Here's what's... Oh, and so if you are... And I'm going to plug this. And I really... It's a free plug for Planet Comic Con, but I'm there as a panel presenter, and so I'm kind of excited about doing this. But apparently they've set up a whole block of Star Wars related stuff leading up to our panel, because I guess going on right before our panel is a panel on building your own droid. So if you've ever wanted to build your own R2 unit, I don't know if it's the 501st or whoever that's doing that. I heard that they've got a panel right before ours. And then the Twi'lek girl, the girl that dances in Jabba's thing. In his palace, not his thing, because
her name is Zuta Grimuth.
No, Twi'lek. I think that's her name.
Twi'lek is her race. They're the green ones.
The Twi'lek. Okay, yeah. So the Twi'lek girls are going to be there, and I guess they have a panel before the droid panel. So it's like you've got a whole bunch of Star Wars stuff. Some of them are maybe a little bit more interesting than. Let me tell you why Star Wars is important to our American culture. And if you'd like a copy of our syllabus, we'll be more than happy to give it to you. I don't know what the recording of the panel policy is, but a number of people have said, hey, can you record that panel and put it up? I know I'm going to record the panel. I know one of the other presenters, Scott, is going to record the panel. If we have permission to post a recording of it, then yeah, we'll post it and share it, and maybe you'll find it interesting. Maybe not. It should be interesting. Rob Rasmussen, who writes for the site occasionally and appears in Critical Hit, says he's going to be there that weekend. I don't know who else from Major Spoilers is going to be there. Are you going to go, Matthew? Are you going to jump in? I'm going to be driving. I am going to be driving so fast and so furious. I'm going to be blinking. You're going to blink and it's like Topeka's 50 miles behind me.
Steven, you always drive like that.
No,
Seriously, we're like trying to stop at McDonald's. We were at the Waffle House before you knew where the brakes were.
Are you going to scream when we go to Nerdtacular? Are you going to scream like a little girl the entire time? Slow down, you're going too fast.
I'm going to drive my own car.
You're going to drive your own car?
No, I'm going to make you rent another car for me to drive.
No. You're going to ride with me because I don't want to be driving along and then go, where's Matthew? And then we have to wait two hours for you to catch up.
Oh, please.
I'm right.
Please.
I'm
You're
right.
Not.
I'm always right.
You're wrong.
Listeners, that's it for Dueling Reviews this week.
You're wrong.
Check us out at Majorspoilers.com. Follow us on Twitter at Majorspoilers or at Mighty King Cobra. And until next time, Matthew is always wrong.
And Steven is always also wrong.
And so...
Major Spoilers is copyright 2014.